You know, I don't want to mess around with this cold open because we got spooky work to do.
Batman, a new villain has commandeered the Gotham Museum. He's frozen the antiquities wing. He's turned the security guards into blocks of ice. He's calling himself Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. This one's weird.
First, I will turn Gotham into an icy graveyard. Then, I will pull Batman's heart from his body.
Batman.
And feel it freeze in my hands. Revenge!
I am, sure.
It's that time of year, folks.
Halloween's coming, the spookiest time of year. Whoa, bat, whoa!
We still need Craig T. Nelson to like cleanse the palate and snap us into place.
I missed him last week. Brrrah. Or last time.
Wow, here we are. It is the second annual Spookums Edition.
Thank you for joining us.
I warn you, this could scare you.
It was a graveyard smash.
And so on and so forth.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Very well, my lady. Hello and welcome to Cruel to Rewind, the world's greatest underground Chicago-based movie podcast. I'm Jeff.
I'm Angie.
We take turns showing each other favorite movies for the first time and possibly the last. Along the way, we share personal stories, goof on pop culture, and razz each other real good. Will today's movie be cool or cruel to rewind? You'll have to keep listening to find out. Today, we are, of course, kicking off our second annual Spookums edition with a joint pick, the Titanic turd from 1997, Batman and Robin, starring George Clooney and Arnold Schwarzenegger. But first, let's check a few spooky boxes off the list.
Come in, if you dare.
So, September is almost over at time of recording, but we've been knee deep in the spooky season all month long already.
I think that doing this show, we've dialed up the Halloween scary movie watching, and it's not just October anymore. We've been watching these movies since Labor Day. Like, Labor Day to us now is spooky season.
That's right.
We want two full months of Halloween movies.
I'm into it. I love it. And, you know, Batman and Robin, I suppose, is an unorthodox pick for a Halloween movie, but it's based off the fact that we watch 1989 Batman every year, the greatest game of dress up ever filmed, the original Batman. I was thinking about this. I think, 89 Batman is the greatest game of dress up ever filmed.
Yep.
Batman Forever is the greatest costume party ever filmed.
There you go.
So I think Batman and Robin, we'll reveal later what I think it is, but that's just setting it up. That's why we do it on Halloween.
Because we like to mix up the movies. We want some campy, some campiness. We want some scaries, some thrills and chills and spills.
Yeah.
We want some funnies. And we want some gories.
Just enough. Just a hint.
A little bit.
But yeah, just a hint of gore, I think, is okay.
You ever hear of a ritual killing?
So, again, we've been watching spooky movies all month long. What have we been watching? What are some of the highlights for you, Queen Bees?
We watched The Ring for the first time since I was in high school, I think. It came out when I was in high school. I don't really remember watching it much after that, but I do remember I didn't really watch a whole lot of spooky, scary movies growing up. I mean, I was watching Hocus Pocus and Casper mostly. So when things were coming out in high school, I felt like I was peer pressured a little bit to go see these movies with friends. Like the Jessica Biel Texas Chainsaw Massacre came out in high school. The Ring, of course. The Blair Witch Project came out, I think maybe when I was in middle school, but I feel like I watched it at someone's in someone's creepy basement.
Sure.
So The Ring was fun. I forgot how green the movie is.
Yeah.
It's just all green.
The filmmakers would have you believe that the world is green because I guess we had just discovered filters as a people.
Yeah.
So the whole movie's green. It's just green.
Screen!
And I completely forgot that the whole movie is based on a VHS tape.
It was pretty sweet, yeah.
It felt like good timing with what we're doing here and just the resurgence of VHS tapes and all those fun sounds of putting the tape in, pressing play. It's very satisfying.
I'm probably going to pull the trigger on a top loader, a top loading VHS player pretty soon. Because we don't have children or pets, so we can just throw money down the toilet.
We can have nice things.
Yeah. We can have things that were nice back in 1987.
Yeah, right.
And have them now. So, yeah, the Ring was super fun. It's super exciting when Brian Cox shows up, instantly brings gravitas to the film.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Yeah, he definitely went kooky and really overdid his suicide. He plugged in like 23 appliances when he was standing in the tub. You only need one.
Good God!
Yeah, he shocked himself real nice and good.
And they don't show it. They should kind of show what's happening around, but it looks very brutal.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. Like you see all these symbols on the VHS tape and then you're hit over the head with them later on in the film. Like, yep, see, we showed you that thing because here's the thing now. Like you just go off the checklist of symbols. Whereas a film like The Shining, which we watch every year, just has visual nonsense that isn't explained.
Yeah.
And it's scarier somehow.
Yes.
Like the blowjob scene, the guy in the bear costume giving a blowjob. What is that?
I mean,
what is that?
Yeah, that gets another.
Good God!
But, and then the scene when he's making out with that lady and then he sees like the back. Oh, God.
Yeah, the rotting lady in the tub.
Yeah, the rotting spooky lady in the tub. What does that even mean? Nobody knows.
Yeah.
And I think that since we watched it so early, I think we'll probably watch it again.
Oh, yeah.
I really, really do like watching that.
It's one of the best looking films, best sounding films of all time. Like the score, it's just, well, you got Wendy Carlos doing the synths. Famous, like one of the first trans celebrities. I guess you'd call her celebrity. She's known in the music world, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the synths, making those, you know, patching those sounds together beautifully. You have a whole orchestra just like fucking around with the strings, like
doing
percussive, like Bartok sort of flourishes. It's really cool.
I feel like they're doing stuff with their instruments, like when they got their instrument for the first time in like fifth grade and you're learning how to hold it and what not to do. I feel like they're just doing all those things that you're not supposed to do.
Yeah. It's so creepy and so effective. And the percussion.
And if we ever get to do like big inside Halloween parties again,
yeah,
I think putting any scene where Danny is riding his tricycle around the hotel, like yeah, mashing them all together and just putting them on a constant loop on a TV somewhere, I think would be super fun.
Very well, my lady.
That's a great idea.
Compliant.
We'll make it happen. What else? Oh, The Hunger, which...
I didn't watch that. Did I watch that?
Oh, yeah. Yep. David Bowie.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
David Bowie, Susan Sarandon.
I guess I didn't know what... I had no idea what the movie was called that we were watching.
Yeah, Catherine Deneuve. I can't remember who directed it, but it's that sexy in a goth kind of way, so not terribly sexy to me, but it was enjoyable to watch. The old man prosthetic makeup on David Bowie is next level.
Yeah.
When his vampire juice runs out and he starts aging but doesn't die, it's terrifying.
He is so...
It's amazing.
I've never seen them make an old person look... I mean, he looks like a skeleton, but alive still somehow.
Yeah, it's very creepy, very effective.
Very effective, very scary.
So that was essentially, you would call it like a vampire movie. They're vampires, mm-hmm. Yes.
Sexy French vampire movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
But the scariest thing we've watched so far, by far,
this is so weird,
is the Halloween episode of Family Matters.
Okay, so how we came across this. Hulu, if you aren't familiar, does they put together movies and TV show episodes and specials and everything into Huluween. It's a section you can search for in Hulu.
It's as if they went to Blockbuster and just held an arm off. It's as if they went to Blockbuster and just held an arm out and scooped all the straight to DVD bullshit horror into a bucket and then streamed it for you. But they also have these handpicked episodes of TV shows.
Yes, which is really fun. I mean, we've watched the Community zombie Halloween episode like 3 times already.
I was bit 10 minutes ago and I'm...
But we were scrolling through and there was one for Family Matters. And that's a show we both watched.
Yeah.
I haven't revisited it in ever.
No.
So we thought, hey, that'll be fun. Let's put on that Halloween episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Urkel has a dummy doll.
Yes, a ventriloquist dummy.
What is that to do with his Halloween costume?
I don't know. I really don't know. I was so uncomfortable the whole time that the plot eluded me. Because here's the thing. It's already unsettling because Urkel is like 32 years old. Like this could have been the last season of the show.
The final seasons of this show, I hated so much because he just had like the crazy amount, a crazy growth spurt.
He's
a man now.
A jacked man, and he is trying to force his man voice into the Urkel
pitch
affectation. Yeah, and it's unsettling, and that already made me uncomfortable.
Did I do that?
And he's still wearing the same Urkel outfit, but he's just huge.
What's
he's a huge man.
Jaleel White. Jaleel White is like a fit, tall, strapping man, and he's got
it. Like an athlete.
He's got to play this nerd, and I don't know.
That's weird. It's Halloween.
You don't know where puberty is going to take you. Sometimes
he's got a dummy doll that looks just like him, and essentially the episode is about the doll coming to life.
Speaking of puberty,
I'm amazed you ever got past puberty.
Sorry, I just had to get that in there. Sean Conn was star.
And the doll comes to life. So it's not just the dummy and it talking when no one's like controlling it.
Yeah.
It comes to life and they use children and I think a little person to be this doll that is moving and it's come to life. But then they also use the actual like ventriloquist dummy for different scenes.
Yeah.
So you've got like three different versions of a doll, and they all like are different weights. Like some, his face is really skinny. Some dolls, it's like a little bit bigger. There's no continuity with how they put these different things together to right. make all these scenes work.
Yeah.
And then they have the actual people, like human beings, dressed up as, it is terrifying.
It is. To see the little person walking around as the Urkel dummy and like threatening and gesturing, gesticulating, it's very unsettling. And
I don't know what's going on. I love this.
Oh, I didn't love it at all. I would prefer to say,
I warn you, this could scare you.
I wish they would have said that before the episode started, because
I cannot afraid. Believe this was on television.
The dummy kills the family members in colorful ways.
Yes. Chopping up bodies.
Laura is chopped up into pieces, but it's like kind of cutesy the way they do it. Like there's different segments of her in different cupboards.
Yeah.
It's
who's in awful. The who's in the Jack in the Box thing?
The mom.
The mom. Mrs. Winslow.
Mrs. Winslow. Harriet. And it's like 90s CGI to put Harriet's head on the Jack in the Box. That's scary too. Ugh. It turns your stomach somehow.
It's all unsettling.
It is.
All of it.
It's a new but kind you should of go nightmare watch it. For today's spooky season. So anyway, if you want a horrifying drugs vision of a sitcom episode to make your season a little spookier, check out the Halloween episode of Family Matters on Hulu.
Let's talk about Batman.
Should we watch this piece of shit?
Yeah.
All right. Batman and Robin debuted in 1997 and is the fourth and final installment of Warner Brothers' initial Batman film series, a sequel to Batman Forever and the only film in the series made without the involvement of Tim Burton in any capacity. Boo. It was directed by Joel Schumacher and written by Akiva Goldsman. It stars George Clooney as Bruce Wayne and Batman, replacing Val Kilmer.
Oh.
Arnold Schwarzenegger as Victor Freeze, and Chris O'Donnell reprising his role as Dick Grayson, or Robin. Also joining us is Uma Thurman, Alicia Silverstone, and Michael Goh. Some people say he's the best Alfred. That's just what some people are saying.
Dig the car.
This is why Superman works alone.
A world at risk.
Batman will watch his beloved Batman Gotham perish.
Just what I had in mind. Everything dead on Earth except us.
Yes.
Girl of my dreams.
Come join me. Forget the geriatric bat.
A partnership.
Robin, no!
In crisis.
You're reckless, and you almost got killed by Freeze tonight. All you could think about was poison ivy.
How are we supposed to work together if you won't trust me?
That's bad. In conflict.
Then I go after Freeze and Ivy alone.
She loves me and not you, and it's driving you crazy.
One kiss.
She wants to kill you, Dick. My rules are keep us alive. You will abide by them.
You must learn to trust him, for that is the nature of feminine. A legacy in danger.
But I shan't be here forever.
Oh, snowboarding.
Alfred's not sick. He's dying.
I can't believe it.
I spent my entire life trying to beat back death. But I can't, can I?
None of us can.
When Venom meets vengeance. Justice cannot fight alone.
Suit me up, Uncle Alfred.
I'm asking you, friend, partner, brother.
Will you help me? Arnold Schwarzenegger, George Clooney, Chris O'Donnell, Uma Thurman, Alicia Silverstone, a Joel Schumacher film. Strength now.
Partners?
Partners.
Courage always.
Partners.
Family above all.
Batman and Robin.
Sentence fragments. Phrases. All right. That's
Alfred Pennyworth is not your average butler. Here.
Relax about it.
This superhero adventure finds Batman and his partner Robin attempting to foil the sinister schemes of a deranged set of new villains, most notably the melancholy Mr. Freeze, who wants to make Gotham into an Arctic region, and the sultry poison ivy, a plant-loving femme fatale. As the dynamic duo contends with these bad guys, a third hero, Batgirl, joins the ranks of the city's crime fighters. Wow. This might be the worst movie we've ever done.
Well,
according to Rotten Tomatoes.
So it's at 12%, and I'm trying to rack my brain. I think House Guest was worse than that. What else have we done that's worse?
I think House Guest might have been the bottom of the barrel, yes.
Yeah, I feel like there's one other. I know we've had some that were closer to 20.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically some of the movies I have shared.
Yeah.
But I can't really remember. So, I mean, this one is very, very low. Yeah. And the audience score, which is interesting because sometimes you think, mm-hmm. even if the Rotten Tomatoes is really low, like, oh, maybe it's one of those, again, cult following movies where people love it. Audience is only 16%. So, I mean, I think this is a turd burger of a movie that we're about to watch, right?
I think it is.
Okay.
It's really the Times Square of bad movies. Like, it just draws crowds to it. There's tourists coming in and out. There's so many takes, quote unquote takes. I'm sick of the word takes on this movie. Everybody's hurling snarky comments at this movie. Every podcast about bad movies, that's not necessarily what our podcast is, but every podcast about bad movies has touched on this.
Yeah.
So just gird your loins. Just get ready for the shit show because it is the Times Square of shitty movies.
Well spoken, sir.
Makes total fucking sense.
I'm glad we're doing it, though, because I'm having a lot of fun exploring all these old Batman movies that have been around for years I've never seen. So
yeah,
I'm definitely excited to see it, but I don't have the best of hopes.
Yeah, I'm going to challenge myself to find nice things to say about it. I'm just saying that up top.
Yeah. I think the other biggest fun fact is just all of the references and apologies and from Clooney about just, sorry, I made this really terrible movie. And I don't know if I've ever seen that before with another movie where someone's just so apologetic and like, yeah. I mean, does Matt Damon go around and talk about like that movie We Bought a Zoo? Is that Matt Damon or is that someone
yeah,
else? I don't remember, but I didn't see it. But there's just so many movies like that. You wonder if people are like, why did I do that movie? But George Clooney, this is just out there. Like, this is bad.
I know. Cause God, if you fuck up Batman, it's like playing Jesus and fucking it up. Like it's a mythological character, a mythological being that people invest so much in.
When you were a kid and you found out that George Clooney was going to play Batman, what did you feel?
I don't remember liking it.
Okay.
I think I was disappointed.
Were you sad that Val Kilmer wasn't going to come back? Were you sad that it was just like, did you have someone else in mind?
I didn't like Batman Forever at the time.
Yeah.
It got too silly, campy. I didn't like all the blacklight makeup. I actually found Jim Carrey to be obnoxious in that movie.
Yeah.
As much as I loved his other stuff, like Liar Liar for years, I thought was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. But anyway, I didn't come into this expecting much.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also saw that they took Bane and turned him into, you know, the mindless pro wrestler who just
growls. I
haven't
seen it yet, so.
I know. I'm all the memories are bubbling up. But It was funny to go and watch all the apology videos of George Clooney at Comic Cons and stuff, just making all the same jokes because he's got them all locked and loaded now.
I feel like if anyone had to go apologize for making a really terrible movie, it like makes sense. Like I feel like it works out that it's him because he's got a very sarcastic sense of humor, and I think, can make fun of things and himself. So I guess if anyone had to go and do that, it's good that it's him, I guess.
Yeah. I think we've talked about this in the past. Like, Christian Bale works so well because he seems like he could lose it at any moment. As yeah. we've seen, he really does on set. And I don't get that from George Clooney. He just seems very well adjusted.
Interesting.
The failure of this movie set the tone for his career because it made him much more careful choosing scripts moving forward. Because the next three movies he did were Out of Sight, great movie. Oh Brother, We're Out There. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? You can't fucking say the fucking
oh,
movie.
Oh Brother, Where Art
Thou? Where Art Thou?
Art
Let
thou?
Me count the ways. Fuck you for naming that movie like that. Oh Brother, Where Art
Thou? Oh Brother, Where Art
Thou? Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Thou, Thou, Thou.
Oh, stop it!
The Roger.
By the way, I can't stand that movie. I don't know what it is. It something about the lip syncing. Bugs the shit out of me.
I've only seen it once and I've never wanted to go back and see it again. So something's not right for me there.
But. And it's got one of my least favorite actors in it. The guy who plays Kimmy Schmidt's dad.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea what that guy's name cracker. Is.
I want to push that guy down the stairs.
What's
I don't
Three
know.
Kings?
That is with Ice Cube, I believe. I believe there's a scene where you see a bullet enter a wound and like what it does to the inside of the body. It's very inventive from a special yeah. effects standpoint. It's gross, but it's pretty cool.
Anyway,
people love it.
Well, I just cannot wait to go watch this movie now. So let's go.
I've made you very excited.
Yep.
I can tell mm-hmm. I'm really selling it.
Let's do it.
Let's go watch this piece of shit.
Awesome. Go to rewind.
Ladies and gentlemen of the un-United Nations and our mystery bidder, may I present Antonio Diego, serial murderer.
Might as well name him Latino Taco. Like, if you're gonna. Jesus Christ. Antonio Diego.
And what a charmer he is. By merely drilling three concentric holes directly into Antonio's cranial cavity, I have created viaducts into the most primitive part of his brain,
yes.
the limbic system. And now I add my super soldier serum.
Hey. Wait a second.
That's for Captain America.
To which I add
That's copyright infringement, bro.
Of steroids and toxins.
Where are you adding toxins?
Plug them in. Time to scream.
So it's time to scream. Is that Bane?
Dog with rabies.
Genius! Behold, the ideal killing machine. I call this little number Bane of humanity.
So there's Bane's origin.
Oh boy.
He's a mindless growly guy.
Okay.
He's really strong, though, too.
All right.
Why should only Batman and Robin die while the society that created them goes unpunished?
Yes. If I must suffer, humanity will suffer with me.
Humanity.
I shall repay it for sentencing me to a life without the warmth of human comfort. I will blanket the city in endless winter. First.
I would like to just get to know you.
And then, the world!
Just what I had in mind.
Was it though?
Everything dead on Earth except us. A chance for Mother Nature to start again. Behold the dawn of a new age.
She's holding up the weird, like, growly plant that makes dog sounds.
My mutant plants have the strength of the deadliest animals. Once you have frozen mankind, these babies will overrun the globe.
Yeah, it burps.
Yeah.
And we shall rule them.
If I was Arnold, I'd be like, whoa, 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 that's not...
The only two people left this, in the world.
This plan's sort of a hat on a hat.
Adam and Eva.
Yes.
You distract the bad bird while I prepare to freeze.
I'm gonna get you.
This is cool.
This is cool. I'm gonna freeze you. Come on. Batman. I'm gonna get you, Batman.
Batman.
I'm going to get you good.
Stop it!
But yeah, if I was Mr. Freeze, I'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa. So I'm already going to freeze the world and kill everyone. But also you're shoehorning your monster killer plants and we're going to be like married forever and the only two people on Earth afterwards. Like,
doesn't make any sense.
She's really coming in and like taking control of the planet. Like, I'd be like, hey, hang on.
Wedging yourself in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't care for that. All right.
Intruder alert. Intruder alert.
I just like.
Intruder alert.
Max Headroom.
Identify. Identify.
Uncle Alfred, it's me. Barbara.
See.
I expected you might find your way down here, child. As such, I programmed my brain algorithms into the bat computer
right.
And created a virtual simulation.
I'd like to help Batman and Robin.
I anticipated you would and took the liberty to create something in your size.
Suit me up, Uncle Alfred.
And it cuts to the gratuitous, butt crotch scenes.
Yep.
All right. We watched Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin.
Batman. I didn't put in any gratuitous Mr. Freeze puns because you can get those anywhere. I mean, there's a place for them, and they'll show up on this episode in some form.
There are 27 ice puns.
That's incredible.
Yes.
I really thought the marketing firm I used to work for wrote this script because I've never been around people who loved puns so much. And it made me sad, and that's one of the reasons I quit.
People mistake puns for like having a sense of humor in your writing.
Right.
It's really infuriating.
It all goes back to the Mel Brooks quote, wit is shit, funny is money. It's like, just because you're quick with wordplay doesn't make you funny. It's an innate thing that maybe you don't have. Sorry.
Oh, sad.
Ooh. Okay. Where should we start? Do you want to start at the top with, let's talk about Clooney as Batman.
Let's talk about it. So I often pick a word of the movie. The word of the movie for me is acceptance, because Batman and Robin has attracted more ire than probably any other movie. So we're not going to out snark anyone with comments on this. We're all just scraping the same entertainment barrel looking for takes. I'm just trying to accept this movie for what it is and find a few silver linings. Like, the filmmakers set out to create a life-size action playset to sell toys. And they achieved that goal. So I'm just taking this movie for what it is. And that's that. Like, the movie starts out, you see the convertible Batmobile. Why is it convertible? Because the toy is going to be convertible. Yeah. It's fun.
And it's got light up wheels like LA gear shoes. Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
But you were saying Clooney. Let's get into it.
Yeah, I think I've heard about this movie for so long, and I feel like, is he the last Batman that I needed to see? Was Clooney? No. Well, I haven't seen the one from like the 60s.
Oh, yeah. Adam West. You haven't seen.
I haven't seen that. So, okay. So I still have one more to go, but.
And you haven't seen much of Batfleck. You haven't seen much of Ben Affleck.
I've seen enough.
You have? Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. I didn't finish that movie, but I would consider that like, yes, I have seen that Batman.
And I think there's another one from the 40s or something.
Oh, but, okay. Yeah. So I got a few more to go, but this was the big one. And I think, I mean, George Clooney is one of the greatest actors of this time. So yeah. I could see the potential. Like he's kind of got the, I think Bruce Wayne, kind of like Michael Keaton's Batman, has to be a little bit arrogant, a little bit sarcastic, a little bit, I don't know if there's another word, but you know what I mean? And I think Michael Keaton gets that across really well. And I think George Clooney does too, but it was hard to like it that much, but.
He's a great Bruce Wayne. And he finds Bruce a way Wayne. To do his custom head bob, his signature head bob. In the rubber suit, which
looks so comfortable.
Was probably hard on his neck muscles and probably hurt himself quite a bit. He brings a lot of the same, as you said, he brings a lot of the energy that Michael Keaton did to the Bruce Wayne character. He's a little, he's just charming. He's charming.
Yeah. Yeah. George Clooney is always charming in whatever he's doing. So.
Sure.
I get it. I get why they wanted to give him a shot at this. It was just a turd of a movie, so he couldn't quite do everything with it, but it would have been interesting to see if it was as good as like 1989 Batman.
Yeah.
What would have changed his mm-hmm. career track after that? Like what would have happened?
Yeah, what would he have gone on to do if it were a success? Because, you know, the three movies I listed earlier are smash hits. They're critically acclaimed. Not necessarily smash hits, but they are acclaimed.
What about Chris O'Donnell? So we've seen him before in Batman Forever. I feel like there's nothing new. Like it was just the same.
I have no thoughts come to mind when you say Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah.
He went right through.
He's just there again.
He's just there. He's capable. He is talented. But that's like the bare minimum you even need to get on the screen. So
yeah.
there's nothing remarkable for me.
And Alicia Silverstone. Oh my gosh.
I've always said
Alicia.
Elohim. Adonai. Silverstone, as it says in the notes.
Hey, that's a typo. Oopies.
God bless it.
See to our research czar, Tony Baloney, found some interesting facts about
her
in this movie. She had top billing in this movie, but she's not in it a whole lot. And apparently, it's because she put on weight during the film. So they like had some costume issues and it just sounds really terrible. Like, I don't know. She probably just put on a few pounds and
yeah,
all of a sudden this like skin tight costume doesn't work. And I don't know. It sounds like it was really shitty to her.
It's basically a mold that is poured over you. I mean, more or less. So yeah, a pound or two and it ain't going to work. Any background on that? Why did she gain weight? Was it stress?
I don't know. I've just seen short. But I guess Joel Schumacher was always coming to her defense and he was angry about the way she was portrayed
in
the media.
I see. So,
sounds kind of shitty.
That's terrible.
But I liked her in this. I mean, she was coming off of Clueless a couple years before.
Mm-hmm.
So she was hot stuff.
Hot stuff. She's great at guessing passwords. She gets Alfred's 3-character password, you know, in like 15 seconds. She
guesses it. That's great.
And she breaks through to read content, secret files that Alfred prepares. That made me laugh so hard. I need to just get a screenshot of that. Content, secret files. Nobody better lay a finger on my secret files.
That's like when my mom used to do garage sales every summer growing up, and we had this like plastic Rubbermaid container that you would open it up and it was like cut into different compartments. So we always used that for our money box with all the different change. And I wrote on the top of the, you know, the Rubbermaid top.
Yeah.
I wrote, "Do not steal money box."
Same thing.
Isn't that so adorable?
Yes, it is. It's cute.
I am sure.
And then the encrypted CD that Alfred burns, it goes in this little case. It looks like the secret album that Wu-Tang made that no one can ever hear. That costs like $1 million to listen to. So that was really neat. Okay, here's a bright spot. I really liked the relationship between George Clooney and Michael Goh. Like in their final scene together.
Yeah.
When Michael goes like, "I love you too." That touched my heart. It calmed my heart in a time when I needed it.
They had some very nice moments when Alfred was very sick and not sure if he was going to, you know, we weren't sure if he was going to make it.
That was a tender scene. I liked it.
Yeah. And that's just like George Clooney being a great actor.
Yeah.
So that worked well. I mean, you can't, you can't really F that part up.
We know his bedside manner is off the charts, because of ER. And that's basically he was with the patient.
Yeah.
You know,
it was great. I mean, same haircut. So.
Same haircut. Oh, that's sweet Caesar.
What about, do you want to go to Uma? I think we just need to leave Arnold for last because there's a lot to say.
I don't know what can be said about Arnold that hasn't been said. It's fun to talk like him. All right, chill, come on, ice, the ice age, ice everywhere, not a drop to ski. You know, it's great. Snow problem. Come on, take it easy. This is a party.
Take it icy?
Take it icy.
There you go.
See you later.
Maybe I'll give you a pizza. Maybe I'll break off your arm.
Hey, how many Arnold movies have we done now? Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Jingle All the Way.
Yeah. 2.
Batman and Robin.
3.
And
how many more?
I thought there was another one.
We could count them in one hand. I can't remember.
I don't remember. I thought there was one more, but we probably just have a couple more on the list to do.
Yeah, I really want to do Raw Deal because it takes place in Chicago. So Arnold running wild on the streets of Chicago, blowing up buildings, just tickles me to death. It's just fucking hilarious. Come on. I'm right here. Hey. Kill me. That's an award-winning impression. As we've said on this podcast.
I mean, it's terrific, right? So, you know, I'm in heaven.
I mean, he's in the Hall. Haven't we announced that he's in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's been in there.
Hall of Famer, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
I'm going to hang out with you until the end of time.
But let's get back to the bright spots from this film. I really think Uma Thurman is one.
Really? I didn't like her.
There were times when she made me forget the movie I was watching.
Okay.
When it was just her, when the camera was just trained on her doing the, you could argue it's Katherine Hepburn. I kind of think it's a Mae West thing. Come on up and see me sometime. Like that kind of energy.
Yeah.
I thought it was a, if not a bright spot, a dimly lit spot. Because this movie is, of course, a turd. So any sort of bone you get thrown is nice. Does that make sense?
I think I just got really sick of like the constant rhythm, the way she was speaking.
Her cadence.
I just wanted it to like break every once in a while. Like give me a, I don't know. I found it very annoying.
Got it.
But I think, similar to the Riddler costume.
Yeah.
I love I feel like it would be so fun to put a Poison Ivy costume together. And, you know, just like the Riddler, how it kind of evolves each time, each scene, it's like a little bit different. There might be some other like element added to it or something that's a little bit different than the time before.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. I think that's a fun moment.
I'm with you. I agree.
Speaking of costumes, though.
Yeah.
While we're on the subject.
Yes.
I did not appreciate all of the giant bulges and nipples. Why were these costumes so nipply?
I'll never understand that. And I'm sure it's out there in an interview somewhere. But I just think Schumacher was taking the camp of the 1960s series and turning it up to 11, as they say. It felt like a natural progression of 60s camp Batman, which, depending on your generation, for some people, that's the ideal
mm-hmm.
Batman. They like the silly fun. They like Adam West doing the Bat-toosie. And this is that on a grand scale.
Yeah. There's two scenes. So it's when Batman and Robin are like suiting up, and then later when Batgirl is suiting up, and uh-huh. it's just all these close-up shots of the uniform, and just it looks like naked bodies with paint poured down them. Mm-hmm. It's what the youths call extra.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Do they still say that?
I don't know.
Write in, kids. Let us know. Send a letter. Post haste.
But I can't get those nipples out of my brain.
Mm. Pretty well, my lady.
I don't know what to do with that.
I don't know why I said that. Pretty well, my lady. Pretty well, my lady. Yeah, there's a lot of nipples, a lot of butts, a lot of crotches, and it's not doing anyone any favors.
That is the sexiest thing I have ever seen.
God, I want to lick your skin off.
I still think the costumes are a little like Halloween USA.
Oh, yeah.
Again, with like the Poison Ivy's costume,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's got like plastic green ivy, like twirled around her arms and stuff.
Yeah.
The color's wrong. The collar's wrong. The material's a nightmare from hell.
Like, I feel like I could put together a costume that looks like a little bit better.
Yeah. It's the sexy Eve from a sexy Adam and Eve couple's costume.
Yeah.
That's what she is.
But I think it'd be super fun because I feel like I could make a good homemade version and it would look pretty legit.
I think you could.
So that I like that. I think
yours would probably look better.
I don't mind that take on costumes. Like it's not a dig. It's just like what you think of.
Yes. I'm with you. So our research czar, Tony Baloney, looked some stuff up for us on this episode and he discovered that the screenwriter lifted the entire Mr. Freeze arc from Batman, the animated series. The story involving his wife has a rare disease and she has to stay frozen.
Uh-huh.
And in trying to find a cure, he had an accident that turned him into Mr. Freeze. And he has to keep his wife on ice. Oh, God.
Rest well, my love. The monster who took you from me will soon learn that revenge is a dish best served cold.
Oh my God!
I was kind of thinking, like, this movie sucks, but what if it was just turned into a cartoon version? And, like, it would be okay, but it makes sense because it already was a cartoon version and they went the other way.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite work.
And it was, like, the second episode of Batman the Animated Series, I believe, the first or second. And it's one of the best episodes of the whole series. And, arguably the best adaptation of Batman in any medium.
Wow.
A lot of people think Kevin Conroy is the best Batman, the voice actor.
Oh, that does. That's one I got to see then.
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am Batman.
Wow.
Tony also wanted to shout out the Smashing Pumpkins because there's a great song that shows up in the film. Let's drop it in here. So yeah, moving forward, Tony Baloney, his research will feature in our humble little program. So thank you, Tony, for your help.
When we talk about the stunts in this movie, I feel like everything is defying gravity. Like the way people are like swooping in or jumping up, it's like they're floating up instead of jumping. Or did you get that?
Yes, you know I had a note about this. Thank you for bringing it up. Physics does not behave in this world like it does in our world. People jump straight up. They fly up into the air at weird angles.
Yeah.
Defying the laws of physics.
Yes. Like gravity is different.
Gravity does not function properly in this universe. What is up with that, DC?
It kind of reminded me of like the wires that you would use in a high school version of Peter Pan or something where things are just like kind of clunky and slow. I'm like why? This is a big production. Why was it so weird looking?
It's like in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. If the guy running the wires got drunk on the job and like stumbled and fell over and like yanked Alicia Silverstone straight up at a 90-degree
angle. It's so weird.
It's weird.
And my other note was just one of those scenes that like stuck out a lot for me was that flower ball scene.
Yeah.
It was one of those moments where I didn't really know what I was watching or why they were there. Like I was so distracted by just the setting.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of how I felt about Batman Forever.
Yes.
Like just like what are these worlds?
What am I looking at?
Like what am I just like how newer Batman films are a little bit more, you know, it's Gotham, but you can tell it's Chicago or New York. You recognize this. It's just a big city. And you have these scenes with just props and colors and like just the types of people that are there. And it's so like Cirque du Soleil or something.
Yes. It's not a space that any architect on Earth would design for people to inhabit.
Yeah.
None of them are. And
it's bizarre.
Reminds me, there are so many like commentators telling you what's happening, talking about the events.
Yeah.
There are all these like Entertainment Tonight personalities or something. But there's all these people with, it's like the acting chops of local news anchors at a Thanksgiving Day parade. Like narrating the parade.
Right.
That's the caliber of acting happening in many of these scenes.
Yeah, and that's what it is.
And I mean, there's other obvious low points we can pick out. There's a scene in which the film is literally reversed where Robin's wrestling with the plant underwater. He comes up for air and the film immediately reverses and it goes back underwater. That blew my fucking mind in the theater. Like this is like MST 1950s science fiction bullshit.
Now
that's insane.
Was that done on purpose or was it like, no, we want him to go back underwater in that scene and he stayed up. So we have to reverse it to make him go back. Like, were they trying to trick us or was it?
I think it was, we got to make it look like he's struggling more than he's struggling.
Yeah.
I don't know. Try reversing the film.
Yeah.
It's due
that
tomorrow.
So
do what you can do.
That was so weird. Like, I'm no film cinematographer buff, obviously. We've learned that. But I even saw that.
Yes.
Like, what?
Anyone,
that was just reversed.
Anyone sitting down and watching this movie will notice that.
Oh, boy. That's interesting.
It staggers the mind. And, of course, Bane, we mentioned it briefly. They did him dirty. He's like one of the great villains in the Batman pantheon. He's a great tactical mind. He's a great fighter. He breaks Batman's back famously in the comics and in Dark Knight Rises. And in this movie, he growls and he's a mindless, you know, golem.
He reminds me of the mummy in Hocus Pocus that's just always like running around, like grunting.
Yeah.
He has no voice. He is just an unhinged big thing. But yeah, I in my notes I have, you know, that's the biggest crime to this movie is the disservice to Bane. I mean, it's a little hard for me because the only Bane I've ever known is from Dark Knight Rises, where he is a main character.
Yeah.
But it's hard to picture like him, like you said, he's a mastermind. Like he's a true villain. And for this Bane just to be like running around aimlessly grunting like a dog with rabies, it doesn't make any sense.
He outsmarts, in the comics, he outsmarts Batman and just clowns him in a way that no one had ever seen before and just like literally breaks his back. He's stronger and smarter. He's so imposing, but what are you going to do? We're selling toys here, folks. And Tom Hardy, you know, killed the game in 2012. So, you know, going back to the animated series, they really did Bane well in that too.
Oh, cool.
I can't remember the voice actor, but in the comics, he's supposed to be Latin American. Like he's born in this fictional Latin American prison and like grows up there. It's pretty dark. And they give him some Latin flavor in the animated series. He's got a little accent. It's pretty cool. Anyway, that's fun.
It's an interesting perspective.
Oh, I forgot that it was Spookums for a minute. Aren't you scared?
Welcome to your nightmare.
We're just getting warmed up. Again, there's a costume party vibe throughout the film.
That's what you want around Halloween time. Yeah. So.
It's the greatest. It's a life-size action playset committed to celluloid, and it's a ton of fun. Within limits, within reason, it's fun. Well, we're getting to it. Any other thoughts?
I think
we're both exhausted.
I think I'm out of thoughts for that one.
Yeah. I think I know what our answer is going to be to the question that we must ask. Shall we do it together or take turns? Would you like to do it together?
Let's do it together and see if it's the same.
Okay. On the count of three, would it be cool or cruel to rewind Batman and Robin? One, two, three.
Cruel! I think we'll stick with our current tradition and enjoy 1989 Batman every Halloween.
Yes, I agree. There's nothing better than Jack Nicholson Joker to put you in the spooky mood. I'm fine with not watching this ever again. But it was fun to revisit and add to the pile of snarky comments that exists on the internet.
It feels good to be part of that snarky world now that I've seen it.
I agree. And I think we're experts now.
Sure.
And I think we nailed it.
Okay.
Thank you to C2R Research Czar, Tony Baloney.
Thank you for joining us.
And thank you for joining us. Our next three movies for Spookums Edition are actual like scary movies. So, you know, this is just a warm up for spooky season. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Send us an email at crueltorewind@gmail.com if you wish, or leave us a message at 929-456-0304. That number again.
929-456-0304.
I guarantee it. Please rate us wherever you can. It helps. It proves we exist. Comment below for likes and subscribes. Enter promo code CRUEL for 90% off C2R brand horse dewormer at your local retailer.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Cruel to Rewind. You can also follow us on Instagram, I guess.
I don't know why you would.
At Cruel to Rewind.
We're shadow banned. Sorry.
You can follow us on TikTok. We don't have any videos posted, but just watch out.
Yeah.
We're going to make Jeff a TikTok star, like we said earlier.
Yep. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Cruelty Rewind.com. Bleep, blah, bloop.
We're trying to get more involved with Twitter, even though I hate it, but it's fun sometimes. click the green celebrate icon on our LinkedIn page, and you'll get 9 free reams of paper with your choice of non-dairy creamer. What? What are you talking about? What the shit are you talking about? Ooh. Well, thank you for listening again. We love when you listen. Don't forget to take your vitamins, make a new friend. If you don't like your job, just hang in there, click around, try your best. Work out twice a day.
Sean Conn.
Was star. Stay cruel out there.
And happy. Wait. Where's the thing? And happy rewinding.
Fucking thing sucks.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, cruel world.
Bye-bye, cruel world.
Goodbye to life.
Bye-bye, life.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye, bye.